Are you an entrepreneur on the move? EOTM Media Group has become the new voice for you. EOTM has the most outstanding public relations firm that will suit your needs as well as your budget. Thanks to EOTM Radio and staff, EOTM has climbed the ranks, reaching over 1 million listeners worldwide. Not only is EOTM Media Group mutually respected for its amazing quality, but also for their branding and marketing expertise. Everyone in the industry needs PR and marketing. So with that said, if you or someone you know needs PR or marketing solutions, contact Carla Barnes, Head of Marketing and Branding, at 213-290-3573. Or visit her website at www.eotmmediagroup.com or join her blog at www.eotmblog.com. What's that? You're interested in hearing a few live shows? Visit our radio page at www.eotmradio.com. Thanks for your time. This commercial was brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
EOTM Radio, entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping lives for a better tomorrow.
What's going on? My name is Stephen Knight, and you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show.
I know we broke your heart, tears rolling down your face. You know I'm coming over to make sure you're okay. You don't have to wait, I'm a crazy baby. I'm a Superman, you know what I'm saying. Girl, I'm on my way, wait, wait. Girl, I'm on my way, wait, wait. You don't have to wait, I'm a crazy baby. I'm a Superman, you know what I'm saying. Girl, I'm on my way.
Good evening and welcome to the Stephen Knight Show here on EOTM Radio. As always, I want to thank you for joining us. We'll be discussing the latest in entertainment news, sports, fashion, and movie reviews. Now tonight we welcome back professor, writer, entertainment manager, and music expert, and also professional speaker, Dr. Talisha Thompson, and the sofa Ramaya Armstrong, and life coach, Angel Richards. You definitely don't want to miss the discussion, so call them with your questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6543. Again, that's 718-664-6543. You can also join us in chat. There's a link on our Facebook page. Now, before we go on, I wanted to give a shout-out to two publications, actually, online publications. They actually wrote some really great articles on me and with the music and, of course, Stephen Knight's show. One is Persona Magazine. You can go to personamag.com. Their link's on our Facebook page. Go to them. They wrote a really good article. And then also HBCU Money. They have a section called HBCU Preneur Corner, and they featured me and the Stephen Knight Show. So shout out to them. Check them out. The second website was HBCUMoney.com. Anyway, so I don't think Ms. Parker's on quick yet, but Chike, how you doing?
I'm doing well, brother. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. How was your weekend?
Very rainy. It rained from Friday clean through to today.
Wow.
Very foggy. Very dreary.
Wow, wow, wow. Yeah.
So I was able to get some rest. I chilled. I laid back.
That's good.
I didn't catch a movie, though, but I laid
back. Okay. What did you get to see?
I got a sneak peek at a movie coming out actually this Friday, which stars the wonderful Miss Halle Berry. It's called Frankie and Alice. And she plays a person with multiple personality disorder. You know, Halle Berry, she does crazy well. And the movie stars herself and Felicia Rashad. It's not really a big budget movie. It's more like an independent artsy-fartsy. You know, I love that. She puts out the good work. Of course, you know, we know all know Halle Berry can act her patootie off. But she really goes there. I think that her realm is... the mentally psychotic, she does that pretty well. Sort of like she did in Gothica, where she played a little crazy. I like her in that realm. She does it well. And Felicia Rashad also gives a wonderful performance in this movie as well. So this is something that is coming out actually this Friday. Don't look for a big budget on this. Don't look for, you know, to see a bunch of previews and trailers for this. This is a smaller budget film. It's going to be a smaller release, but it's definitely worth the visit to the screen, especially if you're a Halle Berry fan. She puts out some quality work.
Yeah, she does. She definitely does. Adam said he's calling in a little late. He was running a little late. But anything that you can think of that's coming out that you beforehand?
I know I wanted to check out that movie, Noah. I'm hoping that Adam checked it out. I didn't have an opportunity to see that. Of course, you know, Captain America comes out this week as well. So that's going to be like the big budget movie leading into the spring season. I guess it's the first big budget of the anime. Well, it's not animated, but the Marvel comic movies that are coming out this year. We have X-Men also coming out this year as well. And I'm looking forward to May and the summer movie season. There's going to be some really big budget over-the-top movies going to be released this year. And as far as, you know, as far as big budget movies are concerned, those are the only ones that I'm really checking for. You know, I'm a more of an independent house, you know, low budget, high art quality type of thing.
Yeah, that's true. Is Spider-Man coming out this year?
Is Spider-Man coming out this year? I do believe that they are slotted for.
Yes, yes.
There you go. There he is.
There
sorry,
is.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
What is the storyline on this one, Adam?
The Spider-Man, they're actually introducing a few, well, multiple villains. It's the sequel to Amazing Spider-Man, and it will have the Electro, which I think is being played by Samuel Jackson,
and
we
Jamie
have
Fox is in it as well, right?
Oh, wait, maybe it's Jamie Foxx that's doing Electro.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx.
And then we have Rhino, and then we have, I think the Green Goblin is coming out in this one as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, it should be interesting. It's interesting that they're what they're doing with the series, but, you know, I'll end up watching it definitely.
What
did
you
get to
see
anything over the weekend?
Yeah, I actually saw a movie called Bad Words, and I don't know if it has a wide release yet, but it's starring Jason Bateman from Arrested Development fame, and he actually directed this movie. I think this is his first directorial debut. And it's about a 40-year-old guy who joined a regional spelling bee contest for kids because he found a loophole in the system. And he wins it, and he goes into the national spelling bee. And he is sponsored by this newspaper. Yeah, and it's kind of a funny one. Well, it's definitely a comedy, and it's an interesting one. So we don't know his motives. You know, you learn as time goes on what his motives is, but he's an adult in a spelling bee with a bunch of 10-year-olds, and he's very vulgar, very rude. Of course, he's winning because he knows how to spell everything. And he becomes friends with this other kid, this 10-year-old kid that's also in it along the way. It was good. It's not anything worth going to the theater for. You know, you could save, you know, $12 and wait for rental. But if you like Jason Bateman, he does a great job in it. The little kid does a great job. And it was a fun watch, but nothing that you have to rush to the theater for.
Okay. And anything you're looking forward to?
Well, yeah, I came in right when Chike was talking about the X-Men movie. The Days of the Future Past looks amazing, like the latest trailer. If you haven't seen it yet, definitely made me excited about the movie. So that's kind of the big one coming up for me. That's coming. I know it's still a little ways away, but it looks like an exciting one. And then I know Captain America comes out this weekend as well.
Okay. So definitely some movies coming out. Anything you want to add?
No, that's it. I just caught up on that, and I'm definitely excited that the season's kind of picking up for movies. The lull is over, and January was rough with these slow movies and even February, but now we're back on track.
All right. Well, as always, we thank you both for your hard work, and have a great week, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. And Ms. Park, I know you've been on this whole time. I didn't even know you were on there. Welcome. How's your Monday?
I am trying to get through it. I was trying to say something, but I think we had me on mute. But it's all good. I'm trying to get through it, trying to figure out why I'm so tired on this Monday, but it's almost over. So.
It's almost over. Tell us about the food truck event we ran into each other at this weekend.
Yeah, it was. I've always loved food truck. It seems like it's getting bigger out here, but it's always been a West Coast thing. It's always street food trucks. It's just there and always been big out there. And so I like the fact that, you know, it's coming out here, and I spent the last couple of years going to a couple of food truck events. It used to have them all over town, but I think the city and the food truck committee are in some kind of a struggle as to where the food trucks can be and can't be. So
okay.
They're not as, around the city as they used to be. It used to be every Thursday night. There was a parking lot in Midtown they used to be at, but I think that now they're regulated on where they can be. But there was a food truck festival called The Taste of a Food Truck, I guess it's a play on A Taste of Atlanta, which originally started The Taste of Chicago. It's a food truck version of it. It was pretty, for the weather being as horrible as it was, Atlanta, we had really bad weather on Saturday, rain pretty much all day. It was rainy and windy. There was a break in the weather, and I thought, okay, we'll be okay. So I went out there with a friend of mine, checked it out, and ran into Steven. I thought the event was great. I thought the turnout was great, but it would have been better.
Yeah.
The weather was a little better. And I thought it was a little overpriced as well. Street food on the West Coast is known to be really cheap. So out here, it's weird to me if they would charge $13 for something. You know, just out there, it's like, $3-4.
Right.
So it was a little overpriced. I actually got my ticket off of Groupon, which is half off. But I think they were charging $20 to get in, and then once you missed that first 3 hours, I guess from 12 to 3, they gave you 3 or 6 tickets with your entry fee, and then you could use those tickets to truck, but after 3 o'clock, the tickets are only worth $1. I thought it was a bit overpriced, but I like the fact that street food is becoming more popular.
Yeah, and the only thing that really bothered me was those long lines. But the food was good. Talk about, remember the little boy that we went to one of the trucks.
You go ahead.
One of the trucks we went to, the line, I mean, they were moving through that line, but we didn't realize that on the other side was another line of people waiting for their food. I mean, people were waiting for a long time for their food. And finally, this little boy was in the crowd. He screamed, "I'm hungry." And everyone kind of laughed because it just kind of what everyone was thinking, you know, waiting for that food. But overall, I thought the food was good. They had some really good performers there as well, singers and whatnot. I got to see towards the end. But it was a good event. It was definitely something different for me. I've had food truck food, and like I agree, it's usually a lot cheaper. I know they used to have this taco food truck in Atlanta Station. And, I mean, $2-3 tacos, you know, really good tacos. So some of the prices were a little expensive, but overall, good time. How was the rest of your weekend?
It was great. I wanted to give my nephews a shout-out today. One of them is going to Baylor. He was accepted their invitation as well, and I think he's doing a tour next site. That's on the school he wanted to go to, the only school he applied at. And so he got in, and he's very excited about that. So he's graduating in June from high school, and moving on to Baylor in Texas. Another nephew of mine may be going to Cornell. He received his offer letter yesterday, official offer letter to Cornell. He wanted to go to Princeton, had an interview with Princeton, went through their process, but unfortunately he wasn't accepted. But the fact that he were in a process for 2 Ivy League schools, I'm very proud of him.
Exactly,
Definitely. Definitely a proud auntie. Another one of my nieces graduating from college in May. So definitely big ups to the young
people.
I feel really old. Niece graduating from college, the 2 in college. This has been so weird.
Exactly.
But, you know, definitely wanted to give them a shout out and let them know that their auntie is very proud of them.
Very proud. Especially see young people doing good things. Going to Ivy League schools, can't beat it. So, Aaron, you on the line? What's up?
What up?
Hey,
how's
Aaron.
Going, everybody? Hey, Miss Parker. Mr. Knight.
How's it going?
Ah, man. Dayton Flyers lost, man. They lost to Florida. Yeah, so I'm kind of sulking still over that. They made a great run, though, but it's over.
It's over now.
Yeah, so.
So what's up going on in the world of sports?
Sixers finally won. I repeat, the Sixers finally won. Their 26-game losing streak ended, recently. They beat the Detroit Pistons 123-98 Saturday night, actually. So the Sixers, again, their streak of 26 games lost has ended. Stephen, Ms. Parker, I want y'all's opinion on the NCAA players forming a union and possibly, you know, getting paid a salary. What is y'all's take on that?
I think it's kind of a catch-22 because the schools make so much money from the athletics, you know, and so the coaches and the scouts, they're all making a lot of money off of it. The students aren't, you know, they're getting different perks and whatnot, but they're not getting paid money to do it. So, what do you think about this?
Go ahead, Ms. Parker.
Somebody was on Facebook or Instagram, one of those social media, trying to be funny. There was a comment made or a poster made that something about there are only two industries where a black man can be employed and not get paid or something, and they mentioned that. And I don't know. It was trying to be funny, but then it kind of like it's a statement that kind of wakes you up, like, you know, they get money from just March Madness. I heard the tickets that sold this weekend, because the games were played in New York, am I mistaken?
Mm-hmm. Some of them were, yep.
Weekend was played in New York. Those tickets, the cheapest ticket, this was on War News. The cheapest ticket was $780.
Whoa.
That's
a lot of money. Yeah.
So
for a college basketball game.
We're saying that those games were actually making more money off the tickets than the game, than the actual Final Four is going to make, or the, you know, the final games. But just, you know, just that, put things into perspective. The game being sold at the cheapest ticket, $700-some dollars. They are entitled to something. Their efforts and hours of practice, something has to give. I'm not saying pay them NBA-type money,
but
they have to be compensated somehow, because they're putting in a lot of work, and a lot of people are making money. I can see if no one was making money off of it,
that
would make sense. But you have you have people who are making millions off of it, and if they're not getting anything off of it, that's like free labor.
That is true. What are your thoughts there, Ron?
Well, actually, I'm with Ms. Parker. I feel that they should get paid something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, an actual salary, no. And the reason being is because they're actually being paid, if you think about it, by their scholarship. You know, let's say, for example, attending the University of Georgia. Let's say that it costs $20,000 per semester. That's being paid by their scholarship. So times that by 3 years, 4 years, whatever. Anyway, you get my point. But they definitely should be paid something. I would say maybe a stipend of maybe $1,000 a month or something, or $500, something. I would say maybe $500, $1,000 per month into an account, because what the issue is that many of these athletes, their room and board is paid for, books are paid for, scholarship, everything's paid for, but they don't have money to actually go out and do the little things, or even buy toiletries, you know, personal things.
They're not allowed to work.
Exactly. Many of these that are making this money for these schools come from poor, really poor families that can't afford to send their kids money. You know, so they definitely need to be paid something. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
But a big salary, no. But definitely something. Absolutely something.
I agree.
Yes. Also wanted to talk Did you all hear about Kobe Bryant with this something that he said with regards to Trayvon Martin?
Yeah, I read something.
I don't know
about that.
Could you tell me more about it? Cause I actually barely heard about it. So
yeah,
I don't want to talk much.
Briefly, I'm not a huge Kobe Bryant fan, so I didn't take the time to read a whole article. But it was about he did an interview for one of, I think it was New York Times.
Okay.
And they asked him about, I think the question was had to do with black men in America or something. And
okay.
His thing is, you see, Kobe grew up very privileged, and I can understand, because sometimes when you grow up, your experience really frames who you are. So Kobe can't relate to street kids. And so his thing was that I think what he was trying to say is that black men need to take responsibility for how they carry themselves. And then also being quick to react, being mindful of how you react. I guess trying to say, like, because we, how I took it is that because we live in a society that judges us off of our, and that's just what the way it is, judges of our skin without knowing us, that it is up to us to take responsibility for how we carry ourselves as well. I mean, I can see where he's coming from. I don't think people should have to kind of cater to that, but then that's reality.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Yeah. I go back and forth because I see his viewpoint, and I at times agree with that. But then I've had friends who really said, you know what, if a white person walked in the room, you know, where it was a mixture of everyone in there, I'm pretty sure they're not thinking, how can I act less white? You know what
right.
I mean? So I get that.
That is true. Very true.
That's true.
Is he getting a lot of follow up because of that?
Yeah, and that's what the article was. The article was printed online, and then I guess the site that I was reading it off was just talking about how he, the black community was upset about his comment.
Okay. I'm looking at it now. Yeah, people are upset about the comments. Yeah, I'm looking at the article now. Yeah, he's taking some heat definitely for it. So. But hey,
yeah.
Kobe, speak your mind, brother. Don't stop. You know, don't stop speaking your mind, man. Because just like Ms. Parker said, he was raised, you know, in a different way than many other people. So his experience is just as valid as mine and yours and Ms. Parker's or, you know, anyone else's. So thanks, Kobe. Keep on talking. Also, though, okay, who is y'all's who do y'all have winning the Final Four out of the four teams? There's Florida, Wisconsin, Kentucky, and UConn. Those are the Final Four teams.
I say Florida.
Florida, okay. Nice pick.
Who do you have winning?
Well, for me, I have Kentucky.
Okay.
Yeah.
What were the schools again? Kentucky and who else?
Kentucky, Florida, Wisconsin, and UConn.
I'll go ahead and say Florida.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, actually, if Florida wins Saturday night, and if Kentucky wins Saturday night, then Florida and Kentucky will be playing for the national championship on Monday. So. That'll be hot. So we can actually talk about it, you know, next Monday night, you know, if it's Kentucky and Florida championship game. That'll be hot. So
that's how
it happens. Definitely. That's pretty much it I got in the world of sport. Actually, I kind of wanted to mention really, really quickly the whole Ray Rice thing. Oh, my gosh. Ray. His fiance that he's alleged to have actually knocked unconscious. They actually got married recently, so some people are trying to say that the reason why they got married is because so that she could not be able to testify against him in case this ends up going to court. You know, so anyway, Ray,
wow.
Brother. Get it together, man. I hope you and your new wife you know, are able to work each other down, man. Just love each other. You all have a beautiful daughter together. Focus on raising her. And that's pretty much it, man, with the world of sports. You can follow me, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, A. Ron Cosby. And I'll talk to y'all next week. Janaris, all yours.
Actually, Janaris, now she is not feeling well today, but she'll be back next week. Go to budgetshopaholic.com for her updates. Ms. Park, any entertainment news you want to discuss?
I think the biggest one I was going to talk about was the Kobe one, which Aaron brought up. I can't think of anything else. I know there's probably been so much going on lately. Can you think of anything? I just probably need my memory jog.
I know people have been talking about the whole, apparently they, at the taping of the Housewives of Atlanta reunion show, Portia got in a physical with Kenya. And,
apparently Kenya is trying to get the VH1 producers to fire Portia after the fight. So I can't wait to see if there's something that really happened, or if they're just trying to put up a publicity that the reunion show is coming up, and it gets pretty good ratings. But
they released the 911 tape. Released the 911 tape. Kenya called.
I didn't hear.
Yeah.
So who called?
Kenya called, and she said that that Portia hit her in the head. But I didn't hear the whole tape, but I was kind of going through it. But yeah, it's definitely not a good situation. I think they're too old to be fighting at this point.
Yeah, all of these shows are starting to get old with the whole fighting grown women in their 40s and 30s and fighting. Congratulations to our mayor, Kasim Reed. He got engaged over the weekend, and he is expecting with his new fiance. Apparently, her family she's from Georgia, went to school in D.C., Howard, and then went to I think Ohio State as well. But she was former Miss District of Columbia, so she's a pageant child, pageant queen. She is she's 34, he's 44, and they are getting married and having a baby. So congratulations to them.
Congratulations. Yeah, that's real good. All right, let's go to the questions there real quick before we go take our commercial break. And I know Ms. Parker, you answered it. The question was, would you ever write a tell-all book about your life story? And you say that you would?
Yeah, it's something that I would consider.
Mm-hmm. Just for sharing your story or therapy?
Yeah. I think everybody have a story. When you say tell-all, I don't know what you mean by tell-all. There's really nothing that's about anything that I've done. So, But I wouldn't mind telling my story. I think there's certain things that I probably would.
Yeah. A lot of people actually said they would. Some people, of course, said they wouldn't. I found out some people who answered the question, they actually had kind of told a version of their story or working on telling their story. I know Isma Richards, she's somebody that me and her brother were best friends growing up. She was like a big sister to me. She has a book out called Rising Out of the Ashes of Depression that's available on Amazon now. So I definitely look forward to hearing her talk about that. And then Quentin said he has a book that's coming out very soon. It's not 100% tell-all, but it's maybe 75% of his life as he got older, past relationships, and the good and the bad. It's going to be an amazing read. And then Meryl said that she's almost done with her book title, Shattered Dreams, Broken Promises, Yet Still a Strong Woman. But it's about her life based on, getting through disappointment, heartaches, deaths, and comebacks, whatnot. So a lot of people are working on this, so that should definitely be interesting. Let's see who else. I don't know if I write. I probably will write one right when I'm about to die. No, I'm about to die when I'm an old man. I probably will write one. I think, because I agree with you, Ms. Parker, that everyone does have a story, and people can be inspired by someone else's story. But anyway, go on Facebook, Twitter, and let us know, would you write your tell-all book and tell us why. And we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. You're listening now. You're listening to The Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. The Steve and Knight Show, Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on EOTMRadio.com.
Dr. Salisa Thompson is a professor, writer, entertainment manager, music expert, and professional speaker, and also sister R&B diva Selena Johnson. Please help me welcome back Dr. Salisa Thompson. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. What are you guys doing? What's going on down there? Y'all all in Atlanta?
We're in Atlanta. Most of us in Atlanta. Most of the teams here in Atlanta. We have some in D.C. and some
Philly.
Yeah, Philly, yeah, Philly. Chica's in Philly, yeah. But, you know, I'm always amazed by you because if you look up entrepreneur in the dictionary, I think they have a picture of your face. You know, this
oh,
is what
God.
You do. You wear so many hats. Tell the listeners a little bit about, you know, you coming into being this entrepreneur superstar.
Well, I don't know if I'm a superstar yet, but it's really just about, I think ownership, having your own, not relying. Now, don't get me wrong, I teach full-time at Berklee College here in New York City, so I do have that very consistent paycheck, benefits, and that whole thing. However, I'm in academia, so it's my passion. I teach business, leadership, entertainment business, entrepreneurism. Yeah, I teach everything, right, in the business
right,
world.
Right,
so it's easy for me, and my hours are short. But I do have my own company. I've had my own company for 13 years, and I just think people should own something. I think you should have something that you can pass down to generations and generations. And I don't think we're owners, especially as black people. I don't think African Americans, we are owners. We don't own, we got to start owning our own company, taking our own destiny in our own hands, because something happens with that 9-to-5 or that cushy job. You know, it happened to me. I had to go out on disability last year, and I was so happy that I was able to I was still booking shows. You know, we were taking season 3 R&B Divas, and you know, there's things that were money was still coming in. But just imagine if I didn't have my own company. You know, I would be
right,
finished.
Yeah.
So my goal is really to empower people, black, white, whomever, entrepreneurs, small business owners around the world to think like visionaries. And so that's the first thing it starts with, and that's kind of why I started this network. It's like everybody's got a vision, but do you even know how? What do you do after that vision, after you have that vision? What's next?
Right.
And a lot of people, you would be surprised, a lot of people don't even know the importance of having a good business name or logo.
I saw that on your Facebook today. You said one thing that drives you crazy is people, they mispronounce words in their business name or business and start spelling business correctly. I saw that.
I can't take it. I can't do it.
That's a good point, though. And tell why that's important not to do that.
Well, here's the thing. Unless your name has very strong meaning. So the name of my company is DYG, 3 letters. Someone would, first of all, if you saw that, you would most likely, number one, think it's a male company, right? So it's DYG Management Group. Group, automatically, you probably think, oh, she's got a bunch of employees, and it's a he. So I picked a very strong, dominant name, 3 letters, like, you know, someone thinks it's Daniel, Young, Grayson, you know.
Right.
But DYG stands for Define Your Greatness. So there's a different meaning behind it, but I just picked a strong name. It's so important to have a good name because you will ruin yourself right out the gate. Now, unless your name has meaning, like it's something cool or a child's name, or like Selena does, her company is her name backwards. Right, it's a Neil entertainment, which is Selena backwards, and she just mm-hmm. stole that from Oprah. And we was like,
right.
Oprah did with
Harpo.
So you ruin yourself right out the gate with a name that's weak, that there's misspellings, like no one's going to take you serious. And think about some of the greatest companies. Names are very simple. Apple, Nike, Coca-Cola, Walmart,
yeah.
Google. Like, and they're spelling Apple like Apple. You know, there's no, like, I see the craziest things. And first thing I think of when I look at the name, I'm like, oh, they'll never make it. Like, real
right.
talk. Like,
yeah.
No one's going to take you serious. Like, it's sad, but we got to think corporate. And if it's a corporate person or a white person or somebody that's from a different country, India, Asian, they're going to be like, they spelled their name wrong automatically.
Right,
they're not
yeah.
going to think, oh, they're cool and hip. No, they're going to be like, you can't even, or I see people in a business, B-I-Z-M-E-S-S. I can't take it.
You're very passionate about that, but I get why, and that's why I brought it up, because it is important. So after you come up with your vision and you know that, okay, this is what I'm going to do, this is my entrepreneurial move, what's the next step?
Well, the model for our network, and I launched this network, I was so, you know, I was so inspired when I launched it, and we just came mm-hmm. together, and me, my sisters, Omar, my boyfriend, we launched, and we were like, we got to start building our network. That's a lot of people don't understand, your network determines your network. And so
yep.
what I was seeing was that people got all these ideas and dreams and aspirations, so they have vision. And the next thing you're supposed to do is to plan. And from that is execution. And finally, you get rewards. So the model of our the network is vision, plan, execute, rewards. And it's in that order. Now, the problem is people want to go out. They want the money first. Like, they want to go out of order. They don't have a plan. They don't have a business plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, yeah, very true. What other tips do entrepreneurs need to know to be successful?
Well, I think what's important is, like, what we were doing, you know, we're season 3 of R&B Divas, I got to do a shameless plug, does air April 23rd.
Okay.
April 23rd. It's going to be a good one. Season 3. it is April 23rd, 10 p.m. Eastern, right? So when we were going into season 3, you know, we're actually going into season 2, Selena and I were like, we cannot miss out on this platform. We cannot miss out on this opportunity. So if you watch season 1 and season 2, you always saw Selena with different business ventures, and she launched her hairline and her Mommy Death Soul DVD. We're still editing and trying to get that out. She lost 2 albums during, you know, now she's working on couples therapy. But what entrepreneurs, I think, lack is, They get these opportunities, they get these platforms, and they don't use them.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you guys have friends, family. You are right now somewhere, wherever you're launching your radio show. It's an online radio show. It's Blog Talk Radio. However, you have the ability to reach thousands and thousands of millions. I'm sure if you get people that haven't reached out to you one time, can I be on your show? Hey, man. I'm going to let you guys close it right now with Big Business Entertainment Music, spelled wrong, and he has not asked me one thing. So what entrepreneurs lack is that ability to seize the moment, seize opportunities, and utilize platforms. You know somebody that you're in the realm, or you're in the midst of people that can make something happen, and you're sitting there and you're not seizing because of pride, because of ego, because you don't know. And that's why I think this network is so important, is because I'm going to teach you everything you need, is what people are not teaching you. Maybe you can't go to school, you can't go to college to learn, or what these rich folks, these wealthy people, you know, they're creating business models and, you know, they have their media kit in place, and they have their LLC, and they're earning all these multiple income streams and revenue streams, and that's what we're going to be teaching. Let's get our credit score to 800. That's our goal. Like, our network, we have 800 club.
Oh,
we got 800 credit score, because you can't do nothing with 550.
Sure can.
You can't do nothing but 550. Not nothing. You probably get you a credit card. They'll sell you a car though with an interest rate of 30%.
Sure will. So tell us more about the network in terms of how can a person join, and you know, because there are a lot of networks out there, and sometimes people join but they don't fully utilize the network. Tell how someone can join this network and use it to its max and be successful.
Well, here's the thing. We have a very, very bad problem in our society. Right now, and I just tweeted you, Steve, and I showed the link. So the network, you can join up until about 11:30, I think midnight, for $49 for 1 year. That's unheard of.
Wow.
It goes to $99 tomorrow, which still is unheard of. We did the math, and it's about $6,000 worth of services. So we have coaching, monthly training. Every month we're going to be training. This month, actually, we're training every week. There's one-on-one coaching. There's business plan review, mentorship, financial advice, wealth building. I do a marketing tip of the month. You're connected to our network resources. You know, Selena's in the network, Celeste, my other sister, Omar, my boyfriend's in it, Kiwan here, Selena's husband. We already are building the network. We have so many people that have been joining. It's low process. We're building and building. But
right,
you can join for $49 by midnight, or you can join at any time. But you're getting 1 year, and there's a built-in referral process. So if you refer people to the network that join and sign up, I pay you. So now there's a built-in referral, and it's just so much like we're going to have a give-back component. We're going to do charity drives, and I'm taking this on the road. Like, I'm going to go to every city. We're going to hold visionary parties and get people to sign up and join this network because so many people lack knowledge. They lack understanding. And it's just a shame, but I've been offering this, like, I've been doing boot camps and ultimate boot camp. You guys know. You guys follow me on Twitter. I'm always getting somebody in my inbox.
You are. Yes, you do.
Every 5 seconds I'm getting somebody in my inbox, my email. Can you help me with my business? How do I start in the music business? Can you manage me? Like, everybody wants everything for free. Like, we
right,
all pay for
yeah.
something. Like, when do we pay for stuff? Ever? Like, do you ever pay?
Right.
For
That's
anything?
True. Nothing's
so
free.
So we just, you gotta be real in yourself. You have to be real. Invest in yourself. And just be honest. Like, the way you can take advantage of this network is just to be active and honest. We have a private Facebook group that I add everybody to. We're throwing ideas around. So far we've been, like, all of the members that have joined have been pumped up. Everybody has been like, wow, I need to do a lot of work. Or like, oh, my God, I don't have that. I didn't think of that. You know, so I just think whatever network, you're never going to find a network like this. Like, and I'm not bragging, but maybe I am. But okay. But how are you going to find a network that's affordable, that is run by a Grammy-nominated singer? You know, Selena's going to be chiming in on her expertise. She's been independent for a while. She's had her own company since 2001. She's had her entertainment company, which just out of nowhere, you know, her attorney was like, you should start your own corporation before you go on this R. Kelly tour. And that was like the TT2 tour. And she was like, okay. And she didn't realize later on, like, she realized, wow, okay, having my own company, like, I can funnel a lot of money through this. and you know, and, like, not have to pay a lot of income tax. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
It was like, whoa. Like, I can start my own label, you know. You just have to be, you know, and then you have a network that's run by a professor. You're like, I'm a full-time
that's
business
what I'm
professor.
Say. Yeah, I was going to say that the fact, I can see the benefit in that in itself, you know, a professor who's running as well as your sister, you know, obviously R&B Diva. Well, let's switch gears real quick. We mentioned briefly R&B Divas, and I don't know how much you can share, but what can you share about this upcoming season?
I will say that it is going to be fascinating. Now, there won't be any Portia and King your hair pulling moment.
Oh, none of that.
No, but it will be some close calls.
Uh-oh.
But it's not with Selena. That's all I care about. There will be, I will say this. I'm not going to Well, first episode, you can already go out and see the teaser. There's some drama already. But I will say this season is going to be really fun because there is a lot. Like, everybody kept saying, where's the singing? Where's the singing? Every episode has singing. Like, they put on shows, concerts, rehearsals.
Oh, wow.
So I will say there is a lot of singing. So I don't want to see any fans complaining about, they sing too much. But there's a lot of singing. So a lot of singing, a lot of crying. You already know they cry every 5 seconds. And
right.
It's just a better vibe. Like, so I think it's a great vibe. Faith didn't come back, and Nikki's not coming back, and Latasha isn't coming back. So they got Neela from 702 and Latavia from Destiny's Child.
How are they mixing with the group?
They're both sweethearts, so I don't want to give too much away, but they're very, very sweet. But it's their stories are very interesting. That's all I'll say.
Listen, I want to thank you so, so much for taking the time to join us. Tell us again when we can join the network. We've already tweeted it. It's on our Facebook page. Tell us again when we can join. Tell us where we can join the network and where we can follow you on Twitter. I know you're very active on there.
I'm on Twitter at Sylecia, that's S-Y-L-E-E-C-I-A, and I'm on Instagram at Sylecia. That's another thing. These people come up with fake names, like pretty girl swag, like just have your own name. I'm so over it. And on Facebook, I'm Dr. Sylecia Thompson. YouTube, Dr. Sylecia Thompson. Like, I want people to find me. I'm not online.
Right.
I just, you know, if you can sign again, everybody sign up, tell everybody to sign up for $49. However, $99 is still cheap for the whole year. And we're just hoping to take this movement. Our goal is 10,000 entrepreneurs to come through this network by 2016. I'm trying to train the next generation, train business owners, train everybody to just know business. You know, you got to know business as well as know your business.
Exactly.
But thank you so much. I appreciate it. You guys are very supportive.
So thank you. Thank you for coming on and giving us what you got. You know, it definitely, I learn. Every time I have someone like you on the show, I learn. I take away something. So I appreciate it, and I wish you all the best with the network.
And we are coming to Philly. One of our network members, Sharon, I don't know if you know her, Sharon Monet.
Okay.
She's a playwright, and so we're working on Philly being the first stop.
Okay.
So you better be there.
Yeah. I know Chiquet's going to hit it up, definitely. Well, thank you again,
awesome.
And I wish you all the best.
Well, thanks so much, guys.
No problem.
And ladies,
we'll be right back.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back after this.
Get powerhouse Wolf Entertainment's artist Ron Anthony's love-making song, Home Tonight. Let's stay home tonight with the one you love. Produced by Blue Wolf Paul Pato. Download the single now on iTunes, Amazon, and all major stores. R-A-H-N-A-N-T-H-O-N-I. This will make you grow in love. This is from the forthcoming CD on Wolf Entertainment. You can check out other songs, including inspirational and dance music by this artist, on www.wolfentertainment.com.au. Let's get back to making love.
A soul phenomenon, Ramaya Armstrong is bringing back sexy in an extraordinary way. A brilliant talent, he is the man with the guitar and empowered voice. His hit song, Dream, stands out as a work of passion. Please help me welcome Ramaya Armstrong. Welcome to the show.
What's going on, brother?
How's it going?
Man, I'm good. I'm good to be here. Thanks for inviting me on the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I always love talking to fellow singers and artists, so it's definitely a pleasure. Tell us about, you know, when you knew music was what you wanted to pursue and how you got started.
Man, it's funny. I have an interesting story. You know, I'm not your traditional, I guess, person that when they was three, they was like, I was singing, I always wanted to be famous. I really didn't take that route. I kind of evolved into it, so to speak. I guess I started with knowing that my gift was with writing. You know, my gift was with poetry. My football coach in high school actually was like a creative writing coach, and he, a teacher, and he kind of saw a hidden talent in me and kind of nourished that. And then that kind of evolved into college, you know, freestyling. I'm a true Rattler fam. You know, I got to represent Florida A&M University. So the highest of the Seven Hills, baddest band in the land, all that good stuff. But, yeah, so it kind of went into conscious rap. You know, a lot of people don't know I really rap before I started singing. And people that know me from back in the day, they're like, yo, you sing? So it kind of just evolved.
Okay.
And I actually was on campus, man. Ordinary People came out. And I always could mimic voices. And I was kind of mimicking a John Legend song. And a girl walked by was like, yo. And that kind of was like, okay. So I kind of put my poetry with my voice and just started writing for other people. And just when I saw how it affected people, when I started putting my messages from my poetry with some chord progressions and things, and I saw the reaction of how it helped people through bad times, or how it just helped people when they was in a stressful moment, and I was like, yo, this is what I want to do, you know. So mm-hmm. it was a natural progression.
For you, what defines a good song?
Man, the effect to be timeless, you know. I look at music like food, like it nourishes. So I talk a lot about good music, our quality music. And I used to offend people when they'll say, well, what is good music? You're judging other artists. And I say, well, actually, you know, what is junk food? You know, what is good food? What is junk food? So it's like I think everything is edible. You know, if your ears work properly, everything is audible and you can listen to it. But I think good music or quality music is music that's teaching or is leaving a message behind, or it helps instead of hurts, however you look at it. But it's not just for a money or for a fame, but it's for a people, you know, whether it unites them or it can tear them down. It's so powerful. So that's quality music. That's good music. That's the difference between music that's for the soul and music that shouldn't even exist in some cases.
who were some of your influences?
Oh, man. Honestly, you know, got a lot of old school names, but one of the first big people for me was Anthony Hamilton. I'm a huge Anthony Hamilton fan.
Yeah,
so that was somebody that showed me that bridge between not gospel, not quite gospel and too preachy, but not quite R. Kelly take your drawers off and all the other stuff, your panties and all that. So it's like he found that balance to where it was sexy, but it kind of had that spirit on it to where it was, you know, messages in it. And it was something that, you know, you could play in your car if you got an 8-year-old in the car, or you can put the same CD in and play with your lady. So he showed me a good balance. So I'm definitely a huge Anthony Hamilton fan.
So we're going to be playing two of your songs in our next half hour on our playlist, Dream and Vintage Love. Tell us about the song.
All right. Man, Dream was, you know, a lot of songwriters know when you kind of playing around, you're just having jam sessions with great, creative, talented people, you come up with some of your dopest songs on your album. And Dream was one of those sessions where I was freestyling with one of my great musical brothers, Abar Hassan, and just playing around, freestyling, man, and I was just talking about, you know, the concept Dream kind of goes both ways. It's talking about a woman that, you know, I'm dreaming about this certain type of woman that I want in the future, and I think I see her and she's familiar to me, you know, in real life. And then I also have the ending of it is kind of talking about, you know, pushing everybody to pursue their dream, you know, especially when I do it live with my band. I kind of just go over and just talk about pursuing your dream, and your dream doesn't have an age limit, you know, and just making sure that you don't give up on it and watch the people that's around you, because they'll kind of have you second-guessing it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Vintage Love, man. Vintage Love is a song I kind of had in my head, like an old-school song, big band era, but I was so blessed to work with Ishii from Arrested Development. A lot of they know Arrested Development from, you know, early 90s, got a couple Grammys. And, I did a dope event, and Ishii was like, yo, you have a great voice, and I was a huge fan. And I just kind of stepped to it like, yeah, I got a record. I think your voice would be dope on it. And she just showed love. She came in the studio, did half of it. They went to Europe, and she came back and did the bridge like 10 days later because they still tour heavy in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that was dope. Like, she went over there, came back, and finished the record, and I kind of just wrote it. She came in true professional and knocked it out in like an hour, and it's just been love ever since.
What's your dream duet?
Man, my dream duet? I mean, I honestly, well, they're not here no more, but I guess that, so it's going to continue to be my dream. I'm a huge fan of Whitney, man. I would have loved to work with Whitney. So that was, if I could think of somebody now, man, I love unique voices. I love voices with a little touch on them, like your Jasmine Sullivan's as well. And, yeah, Chrisette Michelle. I'm a huge Chrisette Michelle fan. So voices that have that, kind of got that Billie Holiday little touch on them. So I love that. A little churchy, but not too churchy, you know. I love that little touch on the voice. Just something special.
What's next for you musically?
Man, I have an EP coming, you know, by the end of the summer. So that's what I'm doing now. I've been focused just writing, teaming up with some producers, and just, you know, getting some stuff out there. But the main thing to look for has just been shows, because the last 6 months, I just was focused on, you know, I have a book as well coming out that I've been working on. So I was kind of focused on that, but it's good to kind of feel your supporters asking, like, yo, when we going to see you in the band again? When you're at shows? So it's, sometimes you kind of got to step back to kind of wait for people to miss you a little bit. You know, you can oversaturate yourself at times. So, so I think that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Okay. And tell everybody where they can check you out, check out the music, follow you on Twitter, where they can keep up with you.
Yeah, everything is Romaya Armstrong. That's Romiah Armstrong. So that's Romaya Armstrong on Instagram, Facebook, RomayaArmstrong.com. My album is also on there, Upright Soul. You can hit the PayPal link and just support, you know. So everything, Romiah Armstrong.
Romaya Armstrong, thanks so much, man, for coming by and talking to us. I wish you all the best with your upcoming EP.
Thank you, brother, man. Thanks for having me, man. Much love.
No doubt. And we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. You're listening now. You're listening to The Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio.
The Steve and Knight Show, Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on EOTMRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Steve and Knight Show. Angela Viola, a.k.a. Big Ange, is the niece of Salvatore Sally Dogs Lombardi, a deceased captain of the Genovese crime family. Angela, a single mother of two, was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, with her two sisters and four brothers. Many of you know her from the hit VH1 reality show Mob Wives. Please help me welcome Big Ange. Welcome to the show. Thank you for being on. It's definitely an honor. Definitely an honor. So what are you up to right now?
Right now, I'm just chilling and taking a break before we say, you know, it's going to be over another couple of weeks or nothing.
Welcome back to the Steve and Knight Show. Angel Richards is the founder of Helping Others Transform, a lifestyle improvement organization dedicated to helping women, children, and families declutter their lives, both inside and out, so they can be, do, and have the best. Her passion for helping others transform as a result of her overcoming her own personal life challenges, fears, and circumstances to become a successful and grounded mother, entrepreneur, educator, author, and life coach. She is committing to helping others live a life of purpose and fulfillment, and will share her formula with women worldwide. Please help me welcome Angela Richards. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. You know, here we always like to, you know, we have our our celebrity guests and our musicians, whatnot, but I also believe in feeding the soul, feeding the spirit. So, you know, when I came across your Facebook page, you know, I researched, I said, this is someone I definitely want to have on the show. So thank you for taking the time out your busy schedule to join us tonight.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, how you came to be a life coach. Like, I know that you had your own personal things you went through, but how did you get to the point that you knew that you wanted to take your experiences and help improve other people's lives?
Well, you know, I've been through a lot, and I never would have thought myself being a life coach. To be honest, I primarily work with women, and years back, I really didn't even like women. because I just felt that they were all, you know, trifling and, you know, backstabbers and envious, and I really didn't trust women. Unfortunately, because of what I went through as a young girl, being molested and raped, I didn't trust men either.
Wow. Okay.
So I was in a place where I didn't trust men or women, and I was just at a very broken, hurt phase in my life when coming out of an abusive relationship, God basically spoke to me. To be honest, I was in the bathroom, bawling my eyes out, just didn't know what to do next. I had been in this relationship for 4 years. And I was just exhausted, and I didn't see any other way out. I didn't quite have the confidence and the self-esteem to walk away or make any other decisions, permanent decisions, because I used to go back and forth. And just in the bathroom one day, in a place where I wanted to commit suicide, God spoke to me and said I wasn't done.
Wow.
And so I just, at that point, still didn't quite know what else I had to do, because I just felt like my life was a complete mess. But in that moment, I realized that, you know what, my life does have value. There is purpose. I don't know exactly what it is, but, you know, I have children and I have things here on earth to do. And so from that point forward, I just kind of started to build myself up slowly but surely, making some non-negotiable decisions, getting some people out of my life. And that is when I came across one of my current mentors at an event, one of my little conference. And, just hearing him and his wife talk and share their story, I knew. I said, I got to connect with these people, because just looking at my family and friends, I didn't have anybody to look up to or anyone that, you know, to talk to or that would help me. And I got a mentor, and, you know, his wife was a life coach. He was a business coach. And after working with them for a couple of weeks, I knew that I wanted to do what she was doing for me for other women.
Wow.
I didn't feel quite ready because I was still overcoming. But I knew that there were some things that I had been through and that I had overcome, and that I could share that little piece with someone to help them, and that kind of birthed, you know, my whole helping others transform.
Wow. I think it's interesting because I used to work with the youth, and I remember, you know, I used to run this program for, it was a detention alternative program, and, you know, you'd have the youth come in and you'd see the change. But once they came out, they finished it, they had to go back to the same community. You talked about being around your friends and your family who, you know, they're not really helping develop you to that next stage. How difficult was it for you to surround yourself with a different group of people with a different mindset?
Well, you know, it was a challenge because they were billionaires. So it was a totally different ball game.
Yeah.
And at first I felt really intimidated. And I felt really self-conscious. I didn't quite, you know, I'm educated. I've been educated for 10 years. I've been a teacher. I have a master's degree. So it wasn't the education that, you know, I felt inferior to. It was just the lifestyle.
Right,
the house, the cars, their circle, you know, the mindset was so different. And so I quickly, you know, basically just faked it till I made it and just fit right in.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned so much from being around them. But I'll tell you, it was very intimidating at first, especially because it was a married couple. And
okay.
I had not had healthy relationships with men.
Mm-hmm.
So while I'm listening to everything they're telling me, I'm judging the situation. I'm like, oh, he's probably a cheater. He's
mm-hmm.
got money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm still allowing some of my old stuff
right.
to get in the way. But they turned out to be an amazing couple, helped me to get out of a relationship that I, you know, after that abusive relationship, I started dating someone else. They helped me to get out of that and to see that that person was not for me and that, you know, they didn't appreciate me. And, I mean, I'm so grateful that I stepped out of my comfort zone and put myself in a position to get uncomfortable to ultimately become comfortable.
Wow.
Today I'm very comfortable.
Wow, wow. And I know to a female friend of mine. She was saying that there was a guy who, when she was at a different place in her life, he really liked her, but she thought he was too nice, and she didn't think she was deserving of that. But now that she's made, you know, strives to change her life, she sees that's exactly who she's deserving of. Is that somewhere what you had to go through, you know, with the men you dated and the type of guys you dated?
Yeah, I really struggled with dating and relationships. In fact, it was almost like what I used to speak over my life. I used to say, I got all my stuff together, so I just can't get this man thing down.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of joked about it, but the reality of it, it's nothing really funny about that. And I think a lot of women can agree. You have, you know, your family together, you have your home, your car, your career, your business, whatever, but it's just that relationship piece that's missing. For me, it was just having low self-esteem and also being that woman who, when I did get a little confidence, I wanted to be in control.
Yeah.
I'm one of those women who would be considered like a, not today, but I was considered a control freak at the time. So I wanted to be in control of everything. I didn't really understand submission and all those things I believe in today. So I would actually get into relationships with men who I felt needed me.
Oh.
Who I could fix up and, you know, mold into the man I wanted. So a lot of times, typically, they didn't have their own place. They didn't have a car. Maybe they were working or not, but it was always, if they were, you know, a job that really wasn't going to be able to support us as a family. And, or, you know, big dreamers and stuff like that. And then I just always kind of dated men who needed me. But the sad part about it is I was attracted to them and drawn to them because I felt like I could help them.
Right.
However, I would be frustrated with the fact that they didn't have much to offer me and couldn't help me.
Yeah.
And so here I am asking somebody, hey, come on, I love you, we can make this work. And then a couple months later, I'm like, you need to get it together because this isn't working.
Yeah.
So it was just like that catch-22 I put myself in.
Wow. Well, then you went on and you established your company, Helping Others Transform. Tell us about, obviously you had begun the transformation within yourself, and what was the final moment that said, okay, now I can do this, now I'm ready, and this is what I'm going to do?
You know, it's funny because I was having a conversation with the guy I was dating at the time, and I had helped him do so many things with his business, and then one day we were having a conversation, I'm like, you know, I'm almost done with my book.
Mm.
And he was like, what book? And I said, what do you mean, what book? All this time we've been together, I've been working on my book, and what do you mean, what book? And I realized in that moment, he's not even listening to anything that I'm saying.
Right.
He's very selfish.
Mm-hmm.
He used to say things to me like, well, I don't think you should really start your business until you, you know, lose the weight and, you know, you get your money right. And,
oh, wow.
You know, maybe a new car, because people aren't going to listen to you if you don't look the part. And for a while, I really fed into that and believed it, and I just kind of delayed everything. But there was that strong calling, and that my gut just kept saying, it's time. Just take where you are, who you are, what you have right now, and get started. And I think probably within a week or two of him saying that, because it really hurt so bad, I realized that, you know what, I'm starting now. And it was almost like, I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to do it right now as is, and whoever likes it, and if they don't, I'm not for them. I kind of had that attitude about it, but I'm glad that I started when I did because there were so many people that were able to relate to me because I wasn't at this elite status, and they felt like, you know what, almost like that sister girl thing where, you know, I can relate to her. I understand she has a story. She's a work in progress, but you know what, she's a step ahead of me. I'm going to listen.
Wow.
So it actually really all worked out.
And I guess that the fact that people took on to what you were telling them and took heed to it, that was kind of confirmation that it was the proper time for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think a lot of dreams are delayed, not because God says, you know, it's not time, but because we have determined for whatever reason it's not time, and it's not always true.
Right. Well, tell us about the clutter-free movement.
Oh, that's my baby. So I started Helping Others Transform, which is my company, Hot, and a part of that is Hot Coaching. And so, like, all my social media is all Hot Coaching, because when I started, that was the name. But I dropped the word coaching, and I just stuck with Helping Others Transform. And under that umbrella, which is the company, is my clutter-free movement. What I realized is, in order to get where I wanted to be, I had to really detox and declutter my life from the inside and out. I had to get my mind right, my heart right, my finances, my body, my health, my relationships, and I really just had to move myself from clutter to clarity. Mm. And so that became like the foundation of which I help people get themselves to where they want to be.
Right.
And so I started the whole clutter-free movement because I feel like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, women ultimately just want to be happy. They want to have peace. They want to have a healthy relationship. They want to feel good about themselves. They want to know what's going on, and they want to be able to have that confidence. And all of that can happen, but it won't happen until you get rid of all the clutter. You know, the confusion, the chaos. Like I tell people, just straight up, all that crap that's going on that's keeping you frustrated and stressed and, you know, down and out and blocking you from moving forward to where you want to go and where you want to be. It's clutter. There's really no other way to put it.
Yeah.
And so it could be family, it could be friends, it could be your habits. And so I just started the movement, and it's really becoming something big. A lot of people have gravitated towards it. I have a challenge that I take the women through for 21 days, and it's just exciting to see people move from clutter to clarity and to embrace the fact that they want to live a clutter-free life. They're tired of the drama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can watch it on reality TV. I love Housewives just like anybody else, but I don't need that drama in my life.
Exactly.
And so it's just exciting to see women embrace that.
So I know you have the 21-day challenge. What are some of the initial steps someone must take to remove that clutter out their life?
You know, the 21-day challenge really goes through a lot of, it's titled Out With The Old, In With The New. It really is about, you know, a new mindset and creating new habits. But at the bare bones, you know, level of just, hey, where do I start? It really is awareness. I think that when I first started, I used to say, oh, well, women aren't going to know what clutter is. I got to be more clear, because I realized that, you know, they were like, I'm not cluttered.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. I don't
mm-hmm.
have any problems. You know, people just aren't always aware of what's going on in their lives. They aren't always aware that this is the person that's holding you back, or these are the habits that's holding you back, or these words you keep speaking. You know, like I used to say, men were always my problem. I couldn't figure that part out. Those words that I was speaking over my life, I wasn't aware of the power that they had. So I think that awareness is step number one, just to become aware of who you are. Down to the core, who are you really? Not who everyone says you are or who you're trying to be, but who are you? You know, where are you at in your life? Are you in a good place? Are you in a bad place? And understanding, you know, how you got there. What were the choices, the decisions that you made that led you to that place? And then being very clear about who do you want to become and where do you want to be in life?
Wow.
You know, and just once you have that awareness, and I have a journal, the Clutter to Clarity Journal, and it really walks them step by step through the process, because once you get very clear and it's like all your stuff is laid out in front of you, so to speak, and you see, you know, life for what it really is and what you've created for yourself, at that point, once you're aware, then you can just acknowledge it and say, okay, it is what it is, and then come up with a plan of how to go about it. So it's pretty much that awareness, that acknowledgement, and then creating that action plan on how you're going to day by day, little by little, you know, thought by thought, declutter your life.
And I would imagine you have to be very honest with yourself. You can't, you know, sometimes you can sugarcoat things to other people, but you have to really be honest with yourself, wouldn't you think so, when you say so?
Absolutely. That's why I love the journal. And all the courses that I teach always come with a journal, and people have asked me why. But I just think that writing things down, you know, make the vision plain, be it good or bad, getting very clear on everything is so powerful. Because like you said, you can fool somebody else, but you can't fool yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When you're answering those questions in the guided journal, you really can't do anything but be honest.
Right.
You know, it's no purpose in writing something down that's not the case. And so I think even if women don't write it down, if they just, you know, take those questions in and really reflect, it really opens up some doors within themselves for healing and for understanding.
Okay. Well, tell us about the HOT, Hot Society.
Hot Society is that place where we all gather every month. I teach different topics. We might talk about finances or health or relationships or decision making. But it's basically a group of women, unlimited. limited number of women that come together every month via teleclasses, and we just basically talk about the topic. I'm teaching on a particular topic. We do Q&As. I send insights and inspirations every week just to keep them motivated and encouraged and inspired to just be more and do more so they can have the best in life. You know, it's that accountability, that girl talk, that real talk that sometimes we can't, you know, have with people who know us best.
Mm-hmm.
So I always tell people, you know, with me, there's no judgment, there's no criticism. You know, I've probably done more than half these people have thought they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just come from a place of love and understanding. And it's a place where women feel, you know, really encouraged and safe to just be open and to learn and express themselves. So my society is definitely a bigger movement than the clutter-free movement, where I'm just pulling in all types of women. There's all nationalities, ages, women from all different backgrounds and entrepreneurs and careers. And so we go a six-month period, then we took a break, and then we're getting ready to relaunch in just a couple of weeks. And so everybody's excited about it, and I'm really excited to get back into teaching because that's something that I just absolutely love doing.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk a lot about helping women, but I can, as a man, I can imagine a lot of the principles you teach would really help men, you know, really help men, especially men that want to make changes in their life to, you know, get past different circumstances or past, you know, what they've been through and overcome that. So I think this would be something that could really help, you know, men and women.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I do have some health clients because I do work with people one-on-one. And
okay.
I have some men that they look past pink and they look past all of that, and they say, hey, do you work with men? And I'm like, I sure do.
Wow.
And I've had some really great men that I've worked with that have overcome because, it's funny. I put posts on Facebook and in the men chime and they're like, and vice versa. And,
right.
You know, that applies to women too.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, listen, everything that I said applies to people. We
yeah.
all want to be loved, respected, honored, supported. So it applies to everybody. But I do work with men. Hot society is primarily for women, but there are some men that do participate.
Okay, okay. So how do you feel, you know, from a personal standpoint, you know, a place you were at a place of hurt and pain and, you know, trying to overcome, but now, you know, you're dedicated to helping others. I know that has to be a fulfilling, you know, feeling for you.
It really is. I get a lot of joy and fulfillment out of it. I'm not only passionate about it, but I do believe that it's my purpose in
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I've been teaching for 10 years, and I've been teaching children, and I work, you know, with their parents as well. So I just love teaching, and I get that fulfillment out of seeing transformation at any level. And so it's very, very fulfilling. I'm at a place right now where I know that I'm being pulled to do something bigger and greater
yeah.
and to expand my reach and my audience,
mm-hmm.
which can sometimes be kind of scary,
right.
You know, because I am a shy person. I am an introvert.
Oh,
but
wow.
I know that whatever I've been called to do is so much bigger than me. You know, it's really not about me. So I just have to really step out of my comfort zone at each level and just do what it is I've been called to do. And when I do that, even though it may be scary or challenging, it's always fulfilling. There's always gratification that comes out of it.
Absolutely. And what is the best way to connect with you?
Well, I'm all over social media on Facebook and YouTube, Twitter. I'm at Hot Coaching, HOTCOACHING at Hot Coaching. And then on Instagram, which I'm in love with.
I love Instagram.
It's an inspiration.
Yeah.
So I love Instagram. And Instagram is my personal name. It's at Angel Richards. So I'm on social media, and then helpingotherstransform.com is my website, and they can get all my social media links there. I love to connect with people and engage and, you know, really just build community.
Wow, wow. Well, listen, Angel, I'm so grateful to have you on the show, and I'm so proud of all that you're doing and how you're impacting. You know, when we live in a world of so much chaos, but to have people like you who dedicate their lives to helping others overcome their past. So I want to thank you for taking your time to join us tonight, and I wish you all the best with your future endeavors.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. And for more information about Angel Richards, go to helpingotherstransform.com. We'll be right back.
Are you an entrepreneur on the move? EOTM Media Group has become the new voice for you. EOTM has the most outstanding public relations firm that will suit your needs as well as your budget. Thanks to EOTM Radio and staff, EOTM has climbed the ranks, reaching over 1 million listeners worldwide. Not only is EOTM Media Group mutually respected for its amazing quality, but also for their branding and marketing expertise. Everyone in the industry needs PR and marketing, so with that said, if you or someone you know needs PR or marketing solutions, contact Carla Barnes, Head of Marketing and Branding, at 213-290-3573, or visit her website at www.eotmmediagroup.com, or join her blog at www.eotmblog.com. What's that? You're interested in hearing a few live shows? Visit our radio page at www.eotmradio.com. Thanks for your time. This commercial was brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
Welcome back.
Hey there, mama. I know you got a feeling in me. From what I see, a smile so bright, it lights up the night.
that was the smooth sounds of Ramaya Armstrong. Check him out, y'all. I want to thank my guests tonight, Ramaya Armstrong, Dr. Lisa Thompson, and Angel Richards. And thank you all for listening. Have a great week, and God bless. Peace.
On internet land.
Sit back and listen to EOTM on a mission. Classic City Records, ain't no competition. Pay attention to the grind, we're in it's a vision.